It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Friday, we welcome you in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We've got a lot coming up on this Friday edition of the program. This hour, Luke Korak's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Blues, what happened last night. I'll give you my thoughts on that in just a moment or so. Later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Battlehawks head coach Anthony Becht, the team announcing today that they have moved on from quarterback A.J. McCarron, that there's going to be a new starting quarterback for the Battlehawks moving forward. Next hour, we're going to talk with sports business reporter Dan Kaplan. We'll talk with him about what went down with the Bally Sports, FanDuel Sports, Diamond Sports situation and coming out of bankruptcy, which is really not that we spend a lot of time talking about coming out of bankruptcy on this show, but it's a what went down to get them out of bankruptcy was actually pretty remarkable. And our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler, that comes up in about 7:30 or so, in an hour and 20, hour 25 minutes or so. We'll have that for you. I want to jump right into the Blues. They lose again last night. They, for a second straight game, they had a lead in the third period and they can't hold on to it. More reasons to be frustrated. I was certainly frustrated. They take the lead into the third period. It looks like Buffalo has scored the equalizer. The Blues catch a break on what I thought was kind of a 50-50 decision by officials to call for goalie interference. So the equalizer came off the board, and the Blues keep the lead, and then eventually Buffalo does score. And then the way things finished in the last 45 seconds of regulation really frustrated me. Blues commit a penalty, and with overtime coming up, the Sabres decide to just hold on to the puck with the idea that they're going to take a 4-on-3 for a full 2 minutes in the overtime period. And the Blues just sit back and let them do it. They don't really do it. They're well into sitting back before the Blues actually realized what was happening and tried to attack the puck a little bit, and it was too late. So they get the full 2 minutes of a 4-on-3 going into overtime. And what do you know? 90 seconds, of course, 90 seconds into the power play, Buffalo scores the winner. Where, hey, if the Blues would have attacked right away and forced the first 35, 40 seconds of that power play in regulation, 30 seconds, 25 seconds, whatever. Maybe it's a little bit different. So that I was just frustrated watching that. And then, look, I'm really not trying to just kill this guy every day. That's not, I don't wake up in the morning going, man, you know what? Today on Sports Open Line, I'm going to take more shots at Drew Bannister. That's not what I'm trying to do. I am rooting for Drew Bannister. I'm rooting for the Blues. I want them to do well. I want the Bannister hire to be a fantastic hire. I want this guy to do lots of good things with this team. I am rooting for him. And I also think he's a perfectly fine hockey coach. I don't think he's great. I think he's young. Maybe he grows into the job a little bit more. We have this conversation sometimes about Oliver Marmol, about how he grows into a job as a guy who took on that job at a very young age. For Bannister, doesn't have NHL head coaching experience. There's a lot of new stuff. But I was frustrated. I was frustrated last night reading some of his quotes and then listening to them as well. So this is what Jordan Kyrou was held off the ice for about the final 5 minutes or so of regulation. He was back on the ice for overtime, but he was held off the ice for the final 5 minutes or so of regulation as the Blues evidently were trying to at least preserve the point that they did end up getting because it was an overtime loss. But this was Drew Bannister when asked why Jordan Kyrou did not get on the ice for the final 4 minutes and 38 seconds of regulation.
I'm putting players out there right now that, you know, we want to make sure that we get at least the point, and it has nothing to Jordan. I thought Jordan played great. You know, I thought the team played great, and, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, we made sure we got the first point and then hopefully get it to overtime. And obviously, you know, Jordan's great in overtime. So, but overall, you know, I thought all the guys played extremely well.
Okay. A lot of things bother me on that. A lot of things bother me on what he said there. First off, You hold one of your top players off the ice for essentially 5 minutes when the game is tied, and it's a very valid question to be asked why you are doing that, and you don't say anything critical about that player.
I'm putting players out there right now that, you know, we want to make sure that we get at least the point, and it has nothing to Jordan. I thought Jordan played great.
So you had the opportunity. He started going down that path. I'm putting players on the ice, and he started to say it, and then he stopped, and he said good stuff about Jordan Kyrou. He would not actually address why Kyrou wasn't on the ice. And then the other thing that really bothers me is what he said they were doing right there. They were trying to preserve the tie. They wanted to make sure that they at least got the point. That's not what I want a hockey coach saying right now. You're playing a not very good team in Buffalo. Go for the win. Go for the win. You're holding back to try to preserve the tie so you can get to overtime and then try to win. Oh, we'll win later. We don't need to win now. We'll win later. No, win now. Win now. Like, I don't think I'm saying anything shocking here. Win the hockey game now. Put your best players on the ice to win the game now. If you lose the game, you know what? I'm killing you anyway. But still, at least I have more respect for you than not even going for the win at the end. Like, I hate that. Yesterday, we were so critical, or maybe 2 days ago, we were so critical of the players in the game before, talking about how they were holding back in the third period because they had the lead against Boston. And, you know, just the idea that you would play tentative or you would play back on your heels, try to preserve the lead, preserve the win, and not be aggressive. And I was upset about the player saying that. I'm not the only one who was upset about players saying that. Well, now, like, how should I be upset about the player saying that? Because the coach is saying that. The coach is admitting the fact that they were just playing for the tie through regulation. Of course the players are going to follow that lead. That's not the attitude I want from a leader. A leader needs to go out and win the stinking game. And is there going to be times where that comes back and bites you in the backside and you get no points instead of getting one? Yeah, that's going to happen. But in the grand scheme of things, when you play to win, you win more games. I don't think I'm saying anything shocking there. You play to win, you win more games. Don't tell me that you're taking Jordan Kyrou off the ice because you wanted to at least secure a point. That you don't want one of your top goal scorers on the ice. Well, he may turn the puck over. So let's keep him off the ice. I don't like that decision. I like less the way Drew Bannister talked about it. If he really thinks the best decision is to keep Kyrou off the ice for the final 4 minutes and 40 of regulation, like, I will defer to his hockey knowledge. But if the reason you're doing that is because you're just skating for a point in the final few minutes, that's where I take a very, very big issue with it. And just admit what you're doing. Say, you know what? We don't trust Jordan Kyrou late in games. He turns the puck over. He's a defensive liability, so we didn't have him on the ice. At least say that. I'm frustrated. We'll see. Am I right or wrong on this? I'm going to throw all of this at Luke Korak. Luke Korak is, he covers the team on an everyday basis. He's a super smart guy. I defer to his hockey knowledge over mine so often. I'll be interested to hear what Lou has to say to my take on this whole thing. We'll do that next with Lou here on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're about to bring Luke Korak on, and Lou's job today is to walk me off of the ledge because I am very frustrated about this Blues team, and I'm frustrated in some things that are being said by head coach Drew Bannister. Lou is cool, calm, collective, knows the game as well as anybody. You follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. You read him at NHL.com, also at the Hockey News. He joins us right now. Lou, I always appreciate your time. How are you?
Well, Matt, I'm good. I hope you're not looking for a psychiatrist, because if you are, boy, I don't know if I'm going to earn the bang for the buck here.
We'll see. We'll see, because I'll tell you what, like, I don't want to relitigate this, but my frustration started to build up when they had just that terrible loss, and then Drew Bannister just wants to talk about line changes. Like, that started to get me frustrated. And then what I do really want to talk about with you is what was said last night. And I do think that when I saw it written down, you know, Matthew DeFranks tweeted out the quote. When I heard Bannister say it later, I felt like it wasn't quite as bad listening to it as reading it. But the idea that Bannister would not play Kyrou in the final 438 of regulation, but then really wouldn't explain why. And then also the idea that he openly admitted that they were just playing for a point there at the end of regulation and not really going for the win, but just trying to force overtime, and they would try to start winning the game again in overtime. Like, that doesn't sit well with me. Am I right or wrong to feel that way?
Well, when you look at the big picture, look at it this way. And it goes back even before this season. So somebody that's watched Jordan Kyrou since he's been in the league, but let's just go back to within the last couple of weeks. We saw what happened in Philadelphia, where he overskates a puck in a neutral zone, and what, 5 seconds later, it leads to a go-ahead goal. When you virtually, that game, you played well enough to at least earn a point, maybe even two, and you get nothing. Same thing happens in the Utah game a week ago, Thursday. Tie game, probably a game you had no business even being in, but you were. The bottom line is you were, and there's a Jordan Kyrou turnover on a drop pass, 3 minutes left in the game, you get nothing out of it. And I know he doesn't explain in those terms, but I think people that are watching, people that follow this team can read between the lines that you have to kind of earn that trust back again. And when you're talking about a Jordan Kyrou, we're not talking about a Zach Bolduc here, or even somebody that's, you know, even like a Dylan Holloway, who, you know, going into the season is pushing on playing, that hasn't even played 100 games in the NHL. You're talking about 26 years old, 350 plus games here. We're not talking about a young kid anymore. So that was the messaging to me, and I understand it. I know exactly. That was basically his way of saying, we can't afford to try this again, because we honestly, you know, you at least left 2 points on the table in those two games, potentially four. So you have to figure out who you are here. If you're the Blues, do you want to be a playoff team, or do you want to be somebody that wants to allow these kids to grow, allow these guys to get in these get in the situations where you're gaining this experience? I think that's what they're trying to figure out, who they are here. And I think by that message last night to me is they still feel like they want to compete, and they want to push for the playoffs. And The message to me was, we have to get at least one point here. Jordan Kyrou did play well enough in that game last night. He really did. I mean, he almost won the game for him. He put a dent in the post where he basically almost put the puck through the post. It was a great shot. It just didn't go in. But I think that was just basically their way of saying, we don't trust you in this situation right now because we can't afford to have you playing hero hockey in this moment where you're going to try to do all this yourself. We want to at least get this to a position where, okay, if it gets to 3-on-3, now we're going to put you out there. We trust you in the 3-on-3 situation. Go try to help us get another point. That's basically what the message was to me, even though maybe it wasn't conveyed that way.
I'm getting nitpicky here. I know I'm doing it, and I don't like that I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Can't you put Kyrou on the bench for the final 4:38, but then also not say after the game that you were just trying to get the point? Like, I just think that statement, I don't think sits well.
Yeah, I can understand that, but if I think maybe he comes out and gains a little bit more credibility there if he basically says, look, just the situations that I explained to you here, this is what we've had happen here, and we're trying to hold players accountable. Remember what he did with Pavel Buchnevich last year? I mean, I think it was a game against Tampa. He gets three minor penalties in the one game, and Drew Bannister holds him accountable for it. And I think if he just if he's a little bit more forthcoming with this, saying, look, these are the situations we were in recently. He made a couple of mistakes that cost us points. This is why. And I think people would understand that a little bit more. But by basically just saying, you know, we're trying to get the point here. Yeah, I can understand on both sides of the coin, you know, well, which way are you going with this here? So I do understand where you're coming from here. But to be honest with you, from my perspective and the way I've watched this and what I saw in those games and in those moments from a guy that, again, 300-plus games of experience and is not a kid anymore. He's 26 years old. I understand what they were doing there. I just don't like you, I think if there's a little bit more conveyed there, you're probably having even a different feeling about this right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that totally. The other frustrating thing is the way they handled the final 35 seconds of regulation, because immediately Buffalo knew that they just wanted to hold on to that puck and then get a 2-minute 4-on-3 in overtime. And lo and behold, the winning goal scores about 90 seconds in. So if the Blues attack right away, maybe the guys back off, maybe it looks a little bit different. It really felt like in that moment, the Blues didn't know what was going on and how to approach that situation.
Yeah, that's one of those, Matt, to be honest with you, where, yeah, it's kind of one of those in the moment things where you really don't think about that because those situations don't happen very often. First of all, you got Oscar Sundquist out in that situation, and I understand the intent, and I get that this guy plays as hard as anybody on this team. Didn't like putting yourself in that position to get a penalty there to begin with. I mean, you're late in the game. Play it safe. You already know what you're doing. You've already sent the message that, you know, we're not going to have Kyrou on the ice at the end of the game here. We don't want to at least lose a point out of this again because it's happened quite frequently here. So just keep yourself in a situation where, okay, this is going to get to overtime. Let's play 3-on-3 hockey. We've been good in 3-on-3 hockey. They've already won twice there. They've already taken the second point in the game. Let's go at it again, because they have actually in 3-on-3, they have the firepower that they've got guys that are go-getters that are going to go out there and get it. But he put them in the situation where now, you know, it's a delayed penalty. In the moment, you probably want those guys to get aggressive to try to get a stoppage of play here. So they have to use up at least whatever they can, because I believe it came with, 59 seconds left or something like that?
Yeah.
So go after them. Force them to use as much time as they can at the end of the game. Take your chances there, because I get it. You know, you could still lose the game in the last minute, but I think from their perspective, they probably are thinking, oh boy, let's not give up a power play goal here in the last minute of the game. Again, we're thinking, let's get at least a point out of this and we'll take our chances. But doing it that way is almost like a double-edged sword, because now you have to defend 4-on-3 for an entire 2 minutes.
And Drew Bannister said multiple times in his post-game press conference yesterday that he thought the team played well, thought they played better. Do you agree? Like, despite everything that we're talking about, was that a overall better effort last night?
It was. I can just speak from a third period here, to, and I'll just go there. I didn't think they played, and you heard what they talked about after the Boston game, that they played too safe. I don't think they played, quote-unquote, too safe last night. They actually outshot Buffalo, I think it was, what, 8-6? And they had opportunities. Again, they had good opportunities to, just like Nathan Walker did on Tuesday night. If you remember that situation, they're up 2-0, and Nathan Walker's, he dings the post. If that goes in and it's 3-0, we're probably not even talking about this right now. Again, last night, they had opportunities, Kyrou being one of them, where it's just a fraction of the puck either going in or out. And they had those opportunities again last night. It didn't happen. I didn't particularly care for the way that they defended when Buffalo got the tying goal. I thought they gave up the neutral zone a little bit too frequently there and too easily, where they were able to gain the zone. And obviously, Buffalo makes a nice play to get the tying goal. I just didn't care for the way they defended it. But any way you look at that, it's still 3-3. And I thought they managed the game as well as can be. Once it got to be 3-3, then they were trying to go after and win the game, as opposed to Tuesday night, where they were just basically on their heels the whole period. And they completely flipped the switch on what was working for them. And that's why they lost that game.
Lou Korak covers the Blues for NHL.com, also the hockey news. Lou, you are the best. You walked me off the edge a little bit, and I appreciate that.
That's good to hear, Matt. Always good to talk to you, too.
All right, very good. Lou Korak joining us here on the program. Appreciate him taking a few moments. I guess I'm more understanding after talking to Lou what the plan was. I am not more the message needs to be delivered differently, and something I've said a few times lately. Look, Bannister hasn't dealt with media in big situations like this. He's been a minor league coach, so maybe it's not fair of me to dissect every word that he says because it's just something that he hasn't done a lot of, and maybe he'll get better at it moving forward. When we come back, some guy who doesn't have a problem with the media, Anthony Becht, is so good talking with the media. He is the Battlehawks head coach, and the Battlehawks, they made an interesting decision today, moving on from quarterback A.J. McCarron. We'll find out why in just a moment here on KMOX. We got the Gas House Gang coming your way this evening at 8 o'clock. It's myself and Bernie Miklas, and we get into a lot of things, talk some Cardinals baseball. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us in about an hour or so, talk a lot of things with him as well. So we've got a lot still coming up. Bit of a, I wouldn't say it was surprising, but I guess the way it was announced was a little bit surprising. Not like the mechanism via press conference, just the way it's being described. We found out today that A.J. McCarron, who has done an amazing job as the Battlehawks quarterback in the last 2 years, is not going to be back with the team next year. When it first kind of came down that that's what was happening, my thought was that McCarron is either calling it quits or McCarron wanted just an opportunity to more pursue something in the NFL, like whatever. And Anthony Becht did a Zoom call with the media and kind of went through it. And the messaging was just a little bit different than what I was expecting. Not good or bad, not better or worse, just different. This is Becht earlier today making the announcement that A.J. McCarron is no longer a Battlehawk.
AJ and our team right now are separating from each other. We're moving in a different direction. Really, really just thankful for what AJ has done for our team. Thankful for what AJ has done for our organization, and just really excited about his future and ours. I think for us, right now as we look at it, we really just want to bring in another player to help develop. Our league is about opportunity. Our league is about helping players grow. When I recruited AJ the first year, I was hoping to get 1 year out of it, and that's what I got. And we helped him get to the league, back to the league, be a backup. Getting him a second year was a bonus year, and at that point in my mind, I was like, all right, we'll go 2 seasons. He's able to come back. So, now we want to help develop someone else, and we feel really good about it. Wanted to make sure that AJ had plenty of time to, if he wants to continue to play or go wherever he wants to go or not play, that's his choice, and he has plenty of time to do that. And then for us, you just kind of let, you know, the potential options that we have or anyone out there that, you know, the opportunity is open. So, you know, this is just more of a tribute kind of to AJ and super thankful for what he's done for our organization. I think, you know, right now it's just for us. And for me, it's time for us to give someone else a chance.
Yeah, so that's I don't know if that's surprising. Again, in many, the UFL is kind of in this weird spot where they do need to be about development. They do need to bring guys in, giving guys the opportunity to either get to the NFL or get back to the NFL. But it's also a league about winning. It's not just this is not a minor league baseball team that's just all about development. That winning matters as well. And AJ McCarron obviously did an incredible job in his first couple seasons. So I don't know. Like, I just, if McCarron would have wanted to come back, and I don't know if he would have wanted to or not, my thought process was always that the team would give him the opportunity to come back, and now that seems like maybe that's not what they're going to do, but the opportunity to give another quarterback the opportunity to develop, give another quarterback the opportunity to get to the NFL, and who knows, maybe even go out there. This is a really good job. This is a really good job. Being the quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks is probably the best non-NFL professional football job available from a player standpoint, right? Like, I don't, what's better outside of the NFL domestically, where, what's better than being the quarterback for the team that draws more and has better fan support and has a really good coach and a really good support system and everything about it? Like, that's this is a great job. And I am interested to see who they might bring in. They do have a couple quarterbacks who are on the roster. You get the feeling, the indication that they will open it up to possibly bring somebody else in. I have a feeling that the starting quarterback for the Battlehawks is somebody who's not currently on the roster. But one way or another, Beck did say that there will be a quarterback competition.
And I'm trying to create competition across the board. You know, everybody, every player has been evaluated. You know, the quarterback position is, you know, we have the rights still to Manny and Brandon, but, you know, we haven't sent them LOIs. We're evaluating everyone. So AJ's a little different just because, you know, this isn't performance-based. This is just, you know, us going in a different direction you know, really kind of trying to, you know, change the team up a little bit. So I know St. Louis fans will be obviously disappointed in the beginning and hearing this, but you know, when we brought him in, no one knew what he would do or what the team would do. You know, we feel real good about it. And I just asked the fan base to just trust me on this one and believe in the process. And again, we got a lot of good players we've signed. We got a lot more coming, and we got some great nucleus of guys that are still part of the team.
He says something there that he says he asks the fans to trust him on this one. And to me, and I'm not always the most trusting person in the world, I don't always just take everything for face value. That's not who I am or what I believe in. But for me, Anthony Beck and this organization has certainly shown enough in their first couple years to earn that grace. And you don't completely understand the decision. You had a really good quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, who led you to a lot of wins, and you're making the decision to move on from him on a surface level. There, that seems like an odd decision. But if Anthony Beck says, you know what, I'm just asking the fans to trust me on this one, well, for the time being, I'll trust them, and we'll see who they end up bringing in. Beck is very excited about the different options that will be available at quarterback.
I mean, we're going to look at everything, Greg. You know, a young player, you know, a younger NFL quarterback, a preseason cut guy. We're going to look at our own guys that we had last year. I mean, we really like Manny and Brandon both. I mean, they're all part of the discussion. So, we feel good about this process. Okay. We're going to have what we think we believe in moving forward, and we're just going to give somebody else a chance, man. Like, this is what this league is about. Like, somebody gave me a chance to be a coach in this league. Do you guys don't understand how many players call me, text me, DM me every day that just want one seat in the building, right? One seat in our league. And it's like, man, like, I get it. Like, and I answer those calls. I answer those text messages. And again, I just, you know, how can we help? And we'll continue to do that through all our positions. And that won't change for the quarterback position as well.
That is Anthony Becht. He's the head coach of the Battlehawks. We'll see if we can maybe get him on this show here in the next week or two, talk to him a little bit about the offseason going into the season, and figure out where this team is going to go at with the quarterback position. But a major change. I mean, A.J. McCarron has been, from a player standpoint, he has been the face of the team. There's been nobody that has been more connected to the Battlehawks than A.J. McCarron, and has done a great job in the way he was able to give into the community. I met A.J. last year. We were doing he came over to a Cardinals game. It was Battlehawks night. And, I mean, this was a guy who was as genuine and so happy to be a member of the team and be part of the St. Louis community. I know from a charitable standpoint, he did a lot of things. I saw him record like a video for someone who was going through a health issue. And, man, he was all in on recording a video. I saw him sign something for someone who was going through a bit of a health issue. And it wasn't just it was a hat or something that was he was signing. He didn't just sign it his name or whatever. Like, he found out the guy's name and what they were going through and wrote him a full note on it, like giving him encouragement and giving him good luck. So he's somebody who just, as a human being, man, did he jump off the page in every way, shape, or form. And then he followed that up by being a really, really good quarterback. And when you think of, you know, nothing against what he's done as an NFL quarterback, but when you think of who A.J. McCarron is and his ability, what he did as a college quarterback and the program he was associated with, I mean, he's got it made. As most legendary SEC quarterbacks do, you know, they've got the rest of their life taken care of if they need it that way. And that was McCarron, and he kept playing, and it'll be interesting to see. He said multiple times that the only team in the UFL that he was going to come back to the league for was the Battlehawks. He said that last year. Does that change a little bit? Does he want to keep playing? Is he ready to transition to the next step of his football career? Is he somebody who wants to get into TV? Is he somebody that wants to coach a little bit? Is he somebody who's going to try to make more of a concerted effort to get one more NFL opportunity before all is said and done? I don't know. I don't know the answers to that question. I just know that when you think about individuals who have impacted professional teams in St. Louis, there has been nobody more impactful specifically to the Battlehawks than A.J. McCarron. And it's going to be a little bit different now with the team moving forward. Again, at the same time, Anthony Becht says trust him. We'll trust him, and we'll watch who they end up bringing in and what this upcoming season is going to end up looking like. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. We'll look ahead a little bit to the college football weekend. We'll do that in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it here on KMOX. Have you till 8 o'clock this evening. This evening at 8 o'clock, we'll have the Gas House Gang, which comes your way every weekday evening. You can always watch it live, by the way, if you're looking for maybe you've got a job and you take your lunch break and you're always looking a way to kind of decompress in the middle of your lunch break. Well, we've got the Gas House Gang. You can watch it. It is a video show where on Mondays, myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas, all four of us, and then the other four days of the week, the four of us partner off. So for today, it's me and Bernie Miklas, and that's going to be coming your way on a replay coming up this evening at 8 o'clock. So it runs as a radio show in the evening at 8 o'clock, and it's a video program on streaming earlier in the day. You just follow along. Maybe YouTube is the place to go. That would be my suggestion for you. And you can follow KMOX Sports on YouTube, and you can subscribe where you can get a notification whenever we do go live on an each and every day basis. Nice honor handed out, really a couple honors being handed out yesterday to Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley. It was the end of season Major League Baseball awards being held in Las Vegas. Helsley was there. He was named the Trevor Hoffman Award winner. That's the top reliever in the National League. And he also earns a spot on the All-MLB team as well after he put together 49 saves this past year. Tops in Major League Baseball. Also had an NL best conversion rate of 92.5%. Just put together one heck of a season. The Cardinals are still saying, and this has been reported everywhere. Derek Gould wrote a story about this in the Post-Dispatch and on STL Today, that right now the Cardinals don't have a plan to trade Ryan Helsley. That's the reporting. It's not that I don't believe that. I do. But I also, there's always that caveat that they have to be wowed by an offer. I think they're going to be wowed by an offer. I think at some point in time, there's going to be a team out there that's going to offer the Cardinals something that they just cannot refuse, considering where they're at as a club right now. I'm not sitting here rooting for Ryan Helsley to get traded. I thought the greatest strength that the Cardinals had this year, the fact that they were able to win as many games as they did, the fact that they were able to have a winning record, the fact that they were in playoff contention for almost all of the season, the reason all of those things happened to me was when they did get the lead late in games, they were able to hold on to it. And it started with Ryan Helsley. Give credit to the other high-leverage relievers who pitched late in games that were close that the Cardinals were winning. Obviously, Andrew Kittredge and JoJo Romero. Ryan Fernandez pitched himself into a high-leverage role. Matthew Liberatore pitched himself into a high-leverage role as well. But it all started with Ryan Helsley. And he put together one of the great years for a Cardinals relief pitcher. And now he picks up this honor as being named the top relief pitcher in the National League, and rightfully so. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. There are multiple relief pitchers that are going to be available, made by teams. The other really super high-level guy is St. Louis and Devin Williams, who plays for the Brewers. And all indications are that the Brewers are going to look to trade him. So I'm sure John Mozeliak and company are having the exact same conversations that Matt Arnold, who runs the Brewers baseball operation, that he's having. I got to think that teams that are interested in Helsley are likely interested in Williams, and it might just be a who blinks first kind of situation with a potential trade. But again, the Cardinals say that they have to be wowed for a trade to actually happen. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it, we get into our second hour of the show. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us in about a half hour or so. We'll talk, it's our weekly conversation, looking back at the week that was in baseball. So he'll be with us in just a bit. And then in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to talk with Dan Kaplan. He's a sports business writer, has been covering the bankruptcy proceedings for Diamond Sports, the parent company of what is now FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. And moving forward, looks like everything is going to be full go for them, which is really an incredible business story, and we'll talk with Kaplan about that coming up later on. It's not a great college football weekend. You know, we've had really good weekend after really good weekend after really good weekend over the last few, and it just there's one really big game this weekend. It's in the SEC. Number 7 Tennessee goes to number 12 Georgia. And Georgia is about a touchdown and a field goal favorite against Tennessee, favored by 9.5. If Georgia loses this game, which they probably won't, but if Georgia loses this game, this pretty much eliminates them from college football playoff contention, you would think. 3 losses, all coming in conference play. Where Tennessee, they can probably survive a loss, especially if it's a close game. They've only lost once this year. So if you're the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, probably deep down inside, you're rooting for Georgia in this game because you want to get as many teams from the SEC into the college football playoff. And Georgia's a team that you would feel like deserves to be in there. Like I think Georgia's one of the at best one of the 6 or 7 best teams in the nation. At worst, where they're at right now at number 12 is probably appropriate. But that's really the only huge game this weekend from a national standpoint. From a local standpoint, a couple interesting games are going to be taking place. Missouri and South Carolina. These two teams are right next to each other in the rankings. Missouri 23, South Carolina 21. Missouri actually has more wins than South Carolina overall, 7-2 versus 6-3. But South Carolina is a 14-point favorite, and I think that's right. I don't think Missouri wins this game, even if they had Brady Cook. I don't think they win this game. But I'll say this about Missouri. It feels like every year, and maybe this is just a feeling and it's not really true, but it feels like every year they come up with a win that they're not supposed to come up with. If this is that win, if Missouri finds a way to go to the other Columbia and beat South Carolina, they've got, at that point, they have a very legitimate chance of not losing another game in the regular season and putting together a 10-2 regular season, and who knows what else happens. Yeah, you know, I thought Bernie Miklas made an incredible point today when he was on with the Dave Glover show, that Eli Drinkwitz, by, you know, pushing forward the narrative that they're still alive for the college football playoff, is actually not good for the program, because if they don't make the college football playoff, Mizzou fans are going to feel like it was a disappointing season, where in reality, what Drinkwitz has done with this program, where they're sitting here getting 8, 9, 10 wins on every year basis, seemingly now, where they've won, 20 of their last 25 games, like doing all these things, which Missouri hasn't done for a while, playing at this level and doing it in the SEC, they can still have a really successful season, even if they're not a college football playoff team. And they are in all likelihood not a college football playoff team this year. But at the same time, that's not off the table quite yet. Depending on some other things happening in the SEC, there is still a pathway for Mizzou to get to the SEC championship game. That would take a lot of help for that to happen, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. And if you get to the SEC championship game, then at that point, everything else is potentially on the table. I also think it's a big weekend for Illinois. They host Michigan State, and the way I have viewed this Illinois season is it's been just an incredible success that until their last game against Minnesota, every game that they had played except for the Penn State game and except for the Oregon game were winnable games that they won. There are always winnable games that you lose, but winnable games that they won. And then they played Minnesota, and that was the first time this year that they had a winnable game that they didn't win. They lost a tight one at home, 25-17. I think just about no matter what, I guess, barring Illinois not winning again this year, which seems incredibly unlikely. They've got a lot of all the games left on the schedule are winnable. So whether they get to 7 wins or 8 wins or 9 wins, whatever it looks like, it's going to be a very successful year for Illinois. All that being said, you want to have a good performance coming off that first winnable game that you didn't win, that you had against Minnesota, and they're going to match up against Michigan State at home coming up tomorrow. That's also their final home game of the year, so an opportunity to honor their seniors before they play at Rutgers and at Northwestern. So, interesting weekend for the local teams from a national standpoint. Again, you've got that Tennessee-Georgia game. Outside of that, I'm not overly enthused by any of the other games that are going to take place. I think, you know, there's some teams that I think need to be careful. I think Texas needs to be careful against Arkansas. I think Colorado needs to be careful against Utah. Is that about it? Notre Dame probably needs to be careful against Virginia SMU needs to be careful against Boston College. Just some of these teams that are still in the running for a spot in the college football playoff and what they might match up against. But for the most part, there's one really good game on Saturday, and that's the Tennessee-Georgia game. And with all due respect to the other games that are going on, it's just not a great college football weekend. All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by Daniel Kaplan. He is a sports business reporter. He has been all over what's been going on with the bankruptcy hearing for Diamond Sports Group, parent company of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. And he is going to join us coming up in just a couple moments. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Brian Westbrook with Coalition Life. While we celebrate the reversal of Roe v. Wade, there is still much work to be done to support life and pregnant women before they cross state lines. Together, we can provide the love, support, and options that women need to choose life for their children. Coalition Life celebrates more than 3,500 clients served and thousands of lives saved since we began this mission with you. Each one is a miracle. Over the years, day in and day out, our team has walked alongside women facing the fear and challenges of an unexpected pregnancy. Through the support of this community, we have given them hope and a path to choose life for the children they carry. Visit coalitionlife.com to give your vital support while reducing or completely eliminating your state taxes through Missouri's 70% tax credit. Learn more at coalitionlife.com, coalitionlife.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
You entrusted a nursing home with the care of a loved one, but they violated that trust. If your family member has been the victim of nursing home neglect, call Ondra Law at 844-BEDSORE.
Once that furnace kicks in, it's really hard to keep your indoor air at its best humidity level. So this fall, Comfort Solutions Heating and Cooling is offering specials on humidifiers. If you're prone to dry skin or throat irritation or tired of getting shocks every time you touch something, humidifying your home should help. It can also cut down on your vulnerability to viruses. So call Comfort Solutions Heating and Cooling to improve your air quality. And don't forget to ask about the $89 maintenance special for safety and efficiency. ComfortSolutionsSTL.com.
Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills is paying some of the highest prices on gold, silver, diamonds, semi-precious colored stones, and fine watches on site. Jewels on Hampton is a premier jeweler with an exquisite selection of diamonds, semi-precious stone jewelry, and vintage watches. Their expert design team can restyle your jewelry to today's contemporary style. They also do jewelry and watch repair. Need extra cash? Jewels on Hampton is paying some of the highest prices on gold, silver, diamonds, semi-precious colored stones, and fine watches. Bring your collectibles and clocks, sports memorabilia, and figurines, too. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton, just 3 blocks south of Chippewa. Call them at 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. So if you need some extra cash, looking for that one-of-a-kind piece, make Jewels on Hampton your first stop. Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills.
Woohoo! Another girls' night out.
I'm so stressed from shopping. I couldn't find anything.
Have you tried Shopping Jewelry Television, JTV?
I don't know. Everyone in my family is so different.
JTV has thousands of jewelry styles. Artisan, diamonds, pearls, colored gemstones, watches, even gift sets. I shop on TV and online.
New JTV customers save up to $40 when you shop jtv.com/radio.
Now can you relax?
Yes. Another round?
Yes.
What do you call the NordVPN Black Friday deal, huh? The Block Friday deal. Because you block online threats. Black Friday, Block Friday. Get it? It's hilarious. Get the NordVPN Black Friday deal and block online threats now. NordVPN will encrypt your online traffic. Its threat protection pro tool will defend you against web trackers, malicious websites, and malware-ridden downloads. Get the special Black Friday deal at NordVPN.com and enjoy safer internet daily. NordVPN, cybersecurity built for every day.
Diverse opinions, mutual respect. That's the politics you'll find at KMOX. Your connection to St. Louis and the region.
Our sports open line here on KMOX. You know, we've spent the last 20 months talking about what it was going to look like watching Cardinals and Blues games moving forward. And after all of that, well, it turns out it's going to look for many people exactly the same, outside of the fact that Bally Sports Midwest is now FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. But over that 20 months, Diamond Sports Group, the parent company of what is now FanDuel Sports, went through a lot, and they were in the grave, and now they are going to at least have another opportunity to move forward, their bankruptcy plan being approved earlier this week. And with all that being said, we're very happy to welcome on one of the great sports business reporters out there. He is Daniel Kaplan. Daniel Kaplan, you follow him on Twitter, at Kaplan Sports Biz, B-I-Z. He was covering this for Awful Announcing, and he joins us right now. Dan, appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I've not abandoned Twitter yet for Blue Sky, but maybe that's coming.
My Twitter followers are just dropping very quickly, so a lot of people are doing that here at the moment. But we'll see if I join them at some point or not. Look, this is what a really interesting and amazing story where so many people thought that these RSNs were going to be completely gone. They were working against Major League Baseball there for a while. The NBA and NHL at some point looked like they would be going off on their own thing. And yeah, they don't have as many teams now as they did 2 years ago. But give credit where credit is due. The Diamond people found a way to come out of this.
They sure did. Back this time last year, they were putting together a wind down plan to get through 2024 this season, this baseball season, and then wind down the operations. They turned that around January of last year. They changed plans, and they've cut new distribution deals with the Comcast and Charters of the world. They have the new naming rights deal with FanDuel. It really is quite remarkable. And in baseball, at the last moment before the key hearing earlier this week, dropped its objections. And there are six teams now, Major League Baseball teams, that have FanDuel Sports Network ties.
Judge Chris Lopez was the one who oversaw this hearing, and you have a quote from him in your story. I encourage people to read that at awfulannouncing.com. But in his quote, he got a little bit emotional about it and talked about the jobs that were saved and how important it is that, you know, fans are able to go out and watch the teams that they love play. I really appreciated what he had to say, because this is a big deal. This is an important deal. And sometimes when you get into the non-sports world, people are very dismissive of the importance of sports. I appreciated what I saw from the judge in all this.
Well, I live in New York, and he made several cracks about the Yankees. So I have to, but no, you're right. He was a steady hand during this whole period of time, especially when it got contentious with Major League Baseball and Diamond. He really steered the ship, and a lot of times in these cases where sports goes before a judge, the judge is a real, you know, real fan. And the judge in this case was a fan, and he saw, you know, as he said, this is very important that fans get to see their sports teams. It's part of being American.
Part of the gamble here for Diamond is that they're going to be able to grow their streaming business. They gave projections on what they expect to draw in, and there's going to be a direct-to-consumer option where fans can just go direct to FanDuel Sports Network and get a streaming app to be able to watch it. And then the latest thing is, for those who have Amazon Prime Video, you're going to be able to subscribe to an add-on. Not clear what the price is going to be on that. Do you feel like the projections that Diamond have made on how much they can grow their subscriber base via streaming, does that seem like a legitimate number, or are they going to come up short of that and we're going to be in this exact same situation 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
Well, to take a quick step back to give the listeners the macro picture, they're projecting linear, that is traditional TV viewers on cable, will decline from about, I think it's 23 million to 16 million. And they're projecting digital, the app streamers, will rise from 500,000 at the end of this year to, I think it was 2.4 million by 2027. And now that underscores the secular decline of the traditional pay TV business as more and more people go to apps and things like Netflix, which is showing the Jake Paul Mike Tyson match tonight. So it's hard to say whether their projection of 2.4 million streamers by 2027 is accurate without knowing what they're going to charge people. Is it going to be $20-$30 a month? Is it going to be $50-$60 a month? The thing that's going on as the pay TV system has collapsed, a lot of these teams that are sticking with the regional sports channels, well, it's good. They're taking a lot less money in rights fees than they did previously. So they're trying to make that up with streaming, but it's not going to fill the gap. And it's why teams like the Padres and the Cardinals have paid player budgets.
Cardinals only took a 23% cut, and gambling just got legalized in Missouri, so that's going to be a new revenue stream that's going to come to the Cardinals. It probably won't make up for the entire 23% cut, but as I sit here, I feel like the Cardinals only losing 23% in their TV deal. There's a lot of teams that are in a lot worse shape than that.
I know the teams that have gone with Major League Baseball producing the streams, they, without the regional sports channel rights fee, they're down to a small fee from over the top, the local channels and the streaming revenue. So the Padres, that's one of the reasons they got rid of Soto last year, was because of that. And so you'll have a number of teams in that boat. But yes, the Cardinals probably did as well as they could, but when your revenue stream is going down 23% and not rising, it's a setback.
The number one question I've gotten about this, and I'm certainly not an expert, but it seems I get more people interested about the Amazon thing than anything else. Like there seems to be a resistance to the idea of downloading a streaming app and going straight with FanDuel. But when the Amazon part is brought in, where you can just buy it as an add-on to your Prime Video subscription that you already have, I've gotten so many people I've heard from seem very interested in that. Is there any type of timeline on when that's going to start to be implemented?
Well, they need to do it in the next few months, clearly. They'd want it before the preseason starts. So we're talking 2 or 3 month time frame. I'm not up to speed on all the technical issues involved, but this is a big deal. Donnan for years has been fighting with Major League Baseball over the digital rights of the teams. Even before the bankruptcy 20 months ago, this was a contentious issue between the teams and Major League Baseball. And the fact that these six teams now have digital rights granted to Donnan is a big deal. And whether it's through a FanDuel Sports Network app or through Amazon Prime, it's great news for viewers of the baseball team, because they don't have to be beholden to a cable company or satellite company to watch the team.
Daniel Kaplan, he is a sports business writer, does a fantastic job doing it, at Kaplan Sports BIZ on Twitter. You can read his coverage of this exact story at awfulannouncing.com, where he did just a fantastic job covering it all. Daniel, thank you so much for taking some time with us this evening. Great work, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again in the future.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Very good. Daniel Kaplan joining us on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments. Yeah, I keep hearing from, like, I don't know what it is, but when people hear, like you've got stuff on Roku, maybe you watch Netflix or Hulu or Apple TV, whatever, on your Roku, you can go download a FanDuel Sports Network app and you can subscribe direct to them to get the network. People seem to be resistant to that. But when they hear that it's going to be just an add-on to their old, because so many people are Amazon Prime subscribers, where you get the Amazon Prime Video as part of it. Again, I hope it's a little bit less for the Amazon add-on as opposed to just subscribing directly through FanDuel. But either way, it seems to me that the Amazon part of this is something that a lot of people are very, very interested in. We will take a break. And when we return, we welcome in our good friend Kevin Wheeler. We'll talk back through the week that was in baseball and get to a few other things as well. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment right here on KMOX.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It is Friday, so our Friday tradition, at least we've turned it into a Friday tradition, is a weekly conversation with Kevin Wheeler. We are one half of the Gas House gang.
That's right, 50%.
And, yeah, there you go. And both of us will be joined by Bernie Miklas and Tom Ackerman coming up on Monday for our Cardinals Monday at 12 noon. Tonight it's myself and Bernie on the Gas House gang. And Kevin Wheeler joining us, former host of Sports Open Line now, Total Information PM with me for a few minutes, and Dave Glover show before that, and all kinds of things. So
yeah, lots of stuff going on.
I feel like, you know, Gas House gang, I feel like kind of gets more momentum on an everyday basis. It's fun. I don't know if people can relate to this. It's fun to like create something brand new.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun too now is that as we're getting to do this more, we've now done 2 weeks, you know, it's a lot less, okay, here's the stuff we have to do, and it's becoming more sometimes story time, and we can get into experiences. Bernie's Mike Tyson story this week was the best. How Mike Tyson threatened to punch his nose through the back of his head during an interview. Like, those are the things that we get to have time for by doing this every day over time, right? But yeah, you know, we're going to have a lot. I mean, when there's Cardinals stuff like really starting to bubble, that's going to be our wheelhouse. We're going to be all over everything Cardinals. But yeah, we got room to pick on the Blues here and there, and we got some room for college football right now, or things like the Tyson-Paul fight, and eventually probably some NFL too, just depending on, you know, what's big and when it's big. But I would say that as soon as the hot stove really kicks in, Cardinals are going to probably be the vast majority of what we hit.
The Cardinals news of the week really came yesterday. Ryan Helsley, National League reliever of the year, also makes the All-Major League baseball team. And it feels like there's a very good chance that that is going to be the final thing that he does as a Cardinal.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to do it, right? But then the alternative is taking risk. You know, if you trade him now in the offseason, you don't have to worry, will he get hurt? Will he have a 5 ERA? Now, he probably won't, right? I mean, he's too good for that.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't mean if the shoulder doesn't start to bark or whatever. And then you get to the point at the end of the year. This is why closer is unique. Well, there are a lot of reasons why closer and reliever positions are unique. One is that they are more unpredictable than other things because they're based on small sample size outings, right? You could have one bad inning that jacks up your ERA for a month. Or 2 months, depending on how bad the inning is. But on top of that, you've got the injury factor. And on top of that, it's the salary scale. Okay. So like on with a position player or a starting pitcher, the 1 year qualifying offer of $23 million is not a crazy overpay for a top of the rotation starter, whether it's a true ace or even a two or a three. That's not crazy. That's crazy for a closer.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody pays a closer $24 million. You can't take the risk. Now, would Helsley take it? Probably not, but maybe.
Maybe.
Because that's basically 2 years of salary for a lot of closers.
Yeah, I think he might.
You could. I mean, there's a legitimate argument. And by the way, but you don't want to take that risk.
It probably depends on his health.
Exactly right.
If he's got back-to-back healthy years, maybe you take that risk.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe he looks at it and says, I can get 55 or 60 guaranteed.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the point is, you're not many teams are going to make a qualifying offer on a closer. So that's not that it's not an option, but it's not an automatic option like it would be for a starting pitcher of high quality or a middle of the order bat or something like that. So it complicates it a little bit. And look, there's demand. There are a lot of good relievers available. And there are some guys who are closers that had good years. But there's not a player available, a reliever available, that's better than Ryan Helsley or Devin Williams. Those are the two best, quote-unquote, available closers on the market. They're better than all the free agents.
Presley will be available. He's pretty good. But he's not those guys, but he's pretty darn
good. Presley makes more than both of them, has a no-trade clause, and sucked last year.
I mean, he lost his job with no blame to him.
No,
he
I
was
agree.
Coming off a great year.
But, I mean,
and
you still got to get people out.
Yeah.
And he did a little better later in the year. He got better in the last couple of months. But when I look at those guys, and he's older, by the way, than both of those guys by quite a bit, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say he's 33, 34, because he was a bit of a late bloomer for the Astros. So I would say those are the two guys that are the most valuable. Now, free agents are always preferable to contenders than trading young players for players. But, I mean, it's also that like, there are a lot of good teams that could use a guy like Helsley, so your market should be good now. But if the market stinks and you don't get what you want, you can wait.
And the fact there is another guy out there. I mean, I'm sure the Cardinals and the Brewers are going to be having the same conversations with the same team.
Same teams. You wonder who's going to blink first,
yeah,
too.
That's going to be the – you know, it kind of reminds me of the year when – the Marlins sold off all their outfielders.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals and Brewers were obviously involved in that. The Cardinals were the Brewers were the team that blinked last. They got Yelich, and they probably got the best guy.
And that was, you know, it's funny too, that move, that's the Marcelo Zuna trade. And that's where, you know.
And Stanton was in that one too, right? Wasn't that?
Stanton was, I think, that same offseason.
Yeah.
Because the Cardinals wanted him, and he said no.
Right.
And then they turned to Ozuna and Yelich. The Cardinals wanted Yelich, but the Marlins said, we're not trading Yelich right now. And then they turned to Ozuna, and that's the Sandy Alcantara deal. Sandy Alcantara and Zach Gallen both went in that deal to the Marlins. That deal, I think, is very symbolic of how things have gone for the Cardinals, really, since the passing of Oscar Taveras. Not that that caused it, but it's that they've constantly been chasing. They've constantly been chasing. And by chasing, I just mean chasing a goal, right? Because they always want to be considered a contender. They always want to market themselves as we're trying to win this year. We're trying to win this year. That might have been a time where you thought, maybe we don't do this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 years of Marcelo Zuna isn't worth 6 years each of Alcantara and Gallen, right? But because there's always that internal and external, but internal pressure to go out and win right now, you had to do it. You had to do it. I mean, like in that setting, you needed a middle of the order bat or you were not going to be a good offense. And there just wasn't much in free agency, if I remember correctly, in that offseason. There just wasn't a lot that would be a good fit. So you kind of painted yourself into that position. And that really is what's been happening that entire time. That's why you end up with, you know, $3, $10, or $12 million a year fifth starters in your rotation because you traded away two guys. Now, again, Alcantara was recovering from Tommy John last year. Not that he would have necessarily helped you, but think about how much he would have helped you in 2023.
100%.
How much he would have changed your year in 2022.
Yeah.
You know, think about what Zach Gallen would do. And who knows how they turn out? We never know. There's no time machine. We're never going to figure it out. But the point is that really that transition period of losing what could have been your next big offensive star. And Mo has acknowledged that really put them off balance, the Taveras death, because they had to scramble to replace that. They ended up trading Shelby Miller to get Jason Hayward. That actually worked out. that was fine. I mean, they didn't really need Shelby, and Shelby fell off shortly after that. He had a good year in Atlanta, if I remember correctly, and then it started to fall off after that when he got sent to Arizona. But Hayward was pretty good for the Cardinals, and then he left. And then that's when you have to start chasing. Okay, we need another bat. We need a corner outfielder. We don't have anybody ready. And, you know, if you had waited, I mean, think about the. This is what I love about this. This is almost like, you ever see the, I've never watched it, but the Marvel series, What If? It's an animated series. Like, what if all these superhero things had gone differently and they're exploring all the multiverse what ifs?
So very nerdy.
Right, very nerdy. I don't watch it. I just know it exists. Yeah. I'm nerdy about other things.
As am I. I'm not trying
to.
I'm not being judgmental towards the nerds of the world.
I'm the biggest nerd in a lot of ways. But what if you hadn't had to go on and go get Ozuna? You don't have him taking a spot. Maybe that opens a door where Rosarena actually gets a chance.
Yeah.
As opposed to ending up being traded because they didn't think there was room for him.
No.
You know, like, it doesn't mean it would have gone that way. It's just one of those things you start playing with in your head. And this is what they're trying to get away from. They're trying to get away from the chase. Because when you're chasing, you're always at a disadvantage. And going back to your point about Milwaukee and the Marlins, they weren't going crazy. They weren't chasing. They weren't like, you know what, we have to do this. They're like, no, we want to do this, but yeah, it's okay. We'll pass on Marcell Ozuna. We're not really going there. And then it turns out that the patience benefited them, right? Because then a week later, it's like, oh yeah, now Yelich is available, because Yelich went to the Marlins after they traded Stanton and Ozuna. He's like, get me out of here.
Right.
And then that's what opened the door on that.
And you get a National League MVP out of it.
Right, right. Yeah. So, again, think of it that way. What if the Cardinals had waited and said, we're not going to go for Marcell Ozuna. And then they made the same trade for Christian Yelich. How different does that run look?
Very different. Incredibly different.
Yes, because he was Yelich was one of the best players in the game for those years.
Yep, absolutely. Totally. It's I think you're right, though, with the Oscar Tavares thing. This team has never fully recovered from that. I remember
that's a pretty big indictment, by the way.
It is, because that's a long time ago.
They have not developed a star from within the team
that produced for the
since Molina and Pujols.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to knock Matt Carpenter. That was a great player development story. He was an all-star. He was a legitimately strong player. That's not a star. I don't think anybody would have looked at Matt Carpenter, even at his peak, and said, that's a star. Now, it's an all-star, and that's a legitimate top-of-the-order run-producing player, right? He was really good.
But you never have the, is this guy a Hall of Famer conversation?
That's what I'm saying, right. And I know that those guys are hard to develop, but then look at how many of those guys the Atlanta Braves have put out in the last 5 to 10 years. You know, looking at Acuna and Albies and Riley and Harris and Strider. I mean, like, good Lord, you're going down this list, and you're like, man, those are all homegrown guys, and they weren't picking number one.
Yeah.
They weren't picking in the top five. A lot of those are international signings, and that's another area where I think the Cardinals got to pick it up a little bit, too.
My Oscar Tavares story, he's playing AAA for Memphis, and I'm doing AAA baseball for the Rockies. And I did an on-field interview with him after the game, because I would always do a star of the game type interview. And I knew at that moment, I'd always known that I wanted to work for KMOX one day. And I remember taking the audio from that interview, cutting it up, and emailing it to Tom Ackerman to see if maybe he might use it in the morning.
Right.
And I remember waking up and streaming KMOX from Colorado to hear it. And I did that for years. When I got to Milwaukee, when the Brewers and the Cardinals would play each other, if somebody from the Brewers said something that I thought was interesting to the Cardinals audience, I would send that audio to Tam. So I spent the better part of 15 years.
Played some of those clips.
Yeah. So that was my long play to get to KMOX. I would just send audio to Tom for him to use in the morning.
But it is a fascinating, you know, this is, again, part of where it looks like the Cardinals want to reset the approach. Right. Not so much that you don't want to spend. I know that people are focused on payroll, and I understand it, because you're lowering it from last year to this year. But that's not the issue now. The issue now is to get to the point where you're not chasing, to where you're making free agent decisions on your terms instead of, oh, my God, we have to do something. Right.
Yeah.
Where you're making free. You're like, wow, this is a really good opportunity. Or you're saying, man, we have this young guy. Let's lock him up, like they did with Pujols. Like they did with Molina, like they did with Wainwright, where they didn't spend in the free agent market. They spent on their guys, Matt Holliday, you know, Paul Goldschmidt after they acquired him. They spend, they're just not trying to get into the bidding wars. They don't want to get out there because they don't think they can win against the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets. And that's when prices become artificially high as opposed to just really high when you're giving people extensions.
Last thing for you, and I talk about this with Bernie today. If you look at the history of Cardinals closers, and let's move past like the 80s with Bruce Sutter and Todd Worrell, like from 90s on, list of guys who have had really good years at the closer position for the Cardinals include Trevor Rosenthal, Jason Isringhausen, Lee Smith, Ryan Franklin, Edward Rodriguez, Dennis Eckersley, Tom Hankey's in that group, mm-hmm. Alex Reyes, Dave Veers, even Bud Norris, Ryan Franklin. Like yep. There's been a really good run of closers. And now Helsley has the single season record for saves with the 49 he had this past year.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting for me to see if Helsley's done as a Cardinal, how will we reflect upon his time as a Cardinal, especially in comparing him to all those names that I just went
over? Yeah, I mean, he's going to be viewed as one of the best of that group, right? Outside of the guys like Sutter and Worrell. But it's also that list is really interesting because it also shows how often they've changed closers.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. That's a position.
Did I say Jason Mott? If I didn't say Jason Mott.
I think he's probably in a comparable place to Jason Mott.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mott, I think, will hold the higher place because he finished out a World Series.
Mm. Do we need to put Adam Wainwright on the list?
Yeah. He is a reliever there for a little bit. But yeah, he'll be in that conversation for one of the top four or five in the franchise's history.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have a ton of years of racking up a ton of saves.
But a bunch of guys that I listed
don't
have that either.
No, again, Jason Mott, kind of the same thing. Like he had a good run, but it wasn't like 8 years.
Right.
You know, and I think that it kind of shows you the volatility of the position, but also how being creative can get you that. The Cardinals didn't sign Ryan Franklin to make him a closer. They signed Ryan Franklin as a guy that could come in and compete for a back of the rotation spot and maybe be a long reliever, and they needed him in the pen more. And then eventually he worked his way toward the very back of the pen and did a good job closing for a little while.
Yeah.
Like that. So the Cardinals are the proof that you don't have to prioritize a big money closer or big name closer, that you can find a way to do it. They've just not been as well. I mean, I should say that because Ryan Helsley wasn't a big acquisition. Ryan Helsley was a guy that was a starter that, you know, kind of, I don't know if he would have been a better starter down the road, but because he was not a super efficient guy, and at the time when they made the decision was not a big strike thrower, decided he's going to be better off in the pen where that 100 miles an hour plays.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. Thanks for stopping in.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
We've got the Gas House Gang tonight at 8 o'clock. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Welcome back in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are starting to wrap things up again. Coming up when we get done, we've got the Gas House Gang. It's myself and Bernie Miklas. And then this evening at 9 o'clock, the Rachel Zimmerman Show. We always enjoy this half hour on Friday because we get Wheeler in for a little bit, and then we get Rachel in. So it's like an extension of the Dave Glover Show here on Sports Open Line. Rachel Zimmerman does join us right now. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Matt.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm good. How was your, was it the first, was this the first full week post-election?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This week feels so much shorter than last week.
Yeah.
It's nice, but I'm glad, you know, we're heading into the weekend now and just feeling good.
What do you have coming up on the show tonight?
Okay, so I'm going to talk to Mr. Blue Sky. They are an ELO tribute band, and they're doing a show at the Pageant on November 22nd. You can still get tickets if you go to the Pageant's website. They're going to perform Evil Woman on the show. A trio of musicians are performing that. It's so good, so please stick around and listen if you are an ELO fan. I'm also going to talk to Dr. Greg Hammer, and he's talking about like kind of the winter blues now that it's getting dark so early. Like, why do we feel so depressed? Why do we feel so down in times like these? We kind of get some answers on that. And then I'm going to talk to Camille Brooks. She's with the Gateway Arch Park Foundation, and she tells us all about Winterfest going on down at Keener Plaza this year. So it's a fun show.
Lots of stuff. Is Mr. Blue Sky on Blue Sky? Isn't that the other social media platform?
That's a good question. You know, I didn't check. Let me look now. I have Blue Sky on my phone these days. I'm feeling very hip. I think I have one follower.
I have noticed on my Twitter, my followers are going down on an everyday basis, like significantly. And I can't tell you how many people I'm seeing saying, I'm done with Twitter. I'm going to go over to this other thing. I haven't done it. Like, I don't have a lot of time. I only have so much. So I can't imagine adding another social media platform into my life right now.
I know. I only downloaded Blue Sky because there's like a comedian that I like that has an account there. I'm like, oh, okay, like I'll have this so I can check in every once in a while. And then I kind of forgot that I did it. But yeah, I'm having the same thing. I'm losing Twitter followers by the day. I'm just like, oh, that stinks.
Did I do something?
Yeah, I'm dipping below my number that I like to stay at. This is not fun.
Yeah. So the being down, when the weather gets like this, like it's been a little rainy the last couple of days and then gets dark, I lose energy. I don't know if that's a normal thing, but I lose energy.
It is normal. And Dr. Hammer explains this because like we're not getting the vitamin D that we normally get because we're not outside as much because it's cold and it's dark. And, you know, it's just it's very normal to feel this way. That was the most comforting thing from my conversation with him was like, look, if you feel like this, look, there reaches a point where you should seek professional help. If you're having a hard time carrying on with your life, that's a totally different thing. But the winter blues, everybody feels this way and you're good if you're feeling that way.
It feels like it just happened this year. I feel like 2 weeks ago we were still kind of in nice weather and now all of a sudden, not that it's gloom and doom, but it's closer to that than the other.
Yeah, it's a little jarring. It's like, all right, I want the summer back. I want baseball back. I want all of that. But I mean, we just have to wait and get through the long, dark winter. But it'll be fine. We'll keep each other company.
You guys want baseball back because you get short days during the baseball season.
Yeah, that helps.
It's fun. We have opposite. So during baseball season, that's when my schedule is just beyond crazy.
Yeah.
And during non-baseball season, I'm done at 8, or maybe I'm done earlier for running an NFL game or Billikens. So we are opposite. I get the short days during non-baseball season, and you get during baseball season.
Yeah, I realized that as soon as I said it. I'm like, I want baseball back. And I know Matt does, but does he really? Because it is a crazy schedule for you.
I'll go to the winter meetings here in just a few weeks, and those are a few days long. But then I go down to spring training, and I'm there for about a month. I've got a 5-month-old at home.
Yeah.
Like I love this job. I love going down to spring training. Nobody feels bad for me, but I am like the home portion of this. I am a little bit concerned how tough it is going to be for my wife handling two kids, including what's going to be an 8-month-old while I'm down there for a month.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Such is life. I knew what I was getting into when I made all decisions that led to all of those things. So, well, Rachel, show is tonight at 9:00. If people aren't up that late, I know there's a podcast. Do you have any replays this weekend? Or?
I don't think I have any replays this weekend. So tonight's the night to catch it, and it is up on the podcast already. So you can check it out right after this if you want.
Awesome. Very good.
But you probably
want
to listen to the Gas House Gang.
Of course you want to listen to the Gas House Gang. But yeah, Rachel Zimmerman show is available in podcast form. Rachel, good to see you as always.
Good to see you too, Matt.
That's Rachel Zimmerman. And that's going to do it for this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. But don't go anywhere. The Gas House Gang, myself and Bernie Miklas, we're up with you for the next hour right here on KMOX.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.